All right. Beginning of the race, awfully slow pace. Was that something you did you not realize how slow you were going, or was that your plan to keep everybody all bunched up, save your tires?
No, I didn't. You know, I knew my long-term plan. I didn't have a short-term plan. I just knew I didn't need to lead. Barnsey, good driver, and then the two I figured was going to be strong, so I stayed there. And then my teammate was behind me for a long time, and I was just comfortable with riding for a while there. And you know, then as the race plays out, you know, you can have a plan, and you can have 10 plans, and then you can make 27 changes to your 10 plans as the race plays out.
The fuel, were you not leaking, but were you getting an overflow like lap 80 that you still had some stuff coming off the top?
Yeah, I'm told that it was coming out, but from what I'm told, I didn't see it, but from what my guy told me, I don't believe it was as much fuel as it looked, because we still had enough fuel, obviously, at the end. There's still, you know, 6 or 8 laps in the car, so, I mean, we were fine.
You ran into an issue earlier in the last practice session on the full fuel load.
Yeah, that was just something that we did. We dropped a fastener for the body, and I couldn't find it. Well, it turns out to be it must have fell in the belts. And when I went out for the full fuel load, every drive belt on the engine flew off and cut the lower radiator hose and spilled all the water on the track. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right there was the Zeus button underneath the belt, so that's what happened. We fixed all that, and you know, my guys were great, but I probably didn't treat some of them very well right then because I was really quite upset, and I fixed it myself and made them all stand there and watch me.
Yeah, I pointed that out. I go, you know, look who's in the middle of that big mess on the track. It's Otto Sitterly under his own car.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I work on them all week. These guys don't. They're all volunteers, and you know, if that had happened during the race, we win as a team, we lose as a team. So it's just one of those deals.
How'd the race play out for you? You said you kind of take it as you go. You led for a while, and then you knew Doug was there. How often do you look on the board? I've heard that more tonight than any other night before. Not just the leaderboard, people actually looking at the video board.
Yeah, once in a great while. But I try not to make a habit of it. I try to race my race. But, I'm trying to think. You know, there was, because of the fuel blowing out issue, I didn't know if we were going to make the end. So once we got... Barnsley wasn't pushing it. Once we got maybe within 30 or 40 laps of the halfway, I knew it was 1,500. And I went, if I can at all, without totally using the car up, if I can, excuse me, get that halfway bonus, I'll get that. That way, if I run out of fuel, it's $1,500 we wouldn't normally do. And then once we got past the halfway, I knew Dadiro was there. And I was, we get the back of the main lap traffic.
Yes, and you guys just kind of sat there. It's almost like you were afraid to drive into it. And was the passing flag have anything to do with that? The lack of, rather?
Yeah. No lap, no passing flag. And then it's the classic. You got to ride. It's only not even half. It was a little over halfway. So why even bother at that point? I didn't necessarily need to lead at that point. I knew Dadiro wanted to. So I was okay. I just rode until I slipped up one time or went up, you know. And then he went by, and I was good with that. I was totally good with that. It was able to let him, he could pop the holes open as we were doing our thing. You know what I mean? So.
All right, and then you followed Doug for a while. You were thinking about, what, 20, 25 laps to go?
Yeah.
Did you move then?
I followed him for a while, then I saw what his car was doing. And I could see on a restart that I was actually better than him. Every single restart I was better. But I was watching the 68 to see if he was coming. And then next thing, the 6 was, looked like he was pretty good. But next thing, I see him in the fence there, and it tore that thing up. And so I just, once I decided on the last restart, I think it was like, it wasn't the last restart of the race, but the one restart, you know, I had been looking at him prior to that. I just said, you know what, I'm going to take a shot at it here. And it was worth a shot, you know. I was, because I had a feeling if it was only a 20 or 25 lap little spurt, I felt as though my car was good enough that at that point I could go and I could really leg it. And then once I got out front and I watched my guy that was showing me a sign, and just the way the car was coming off a 2, and I could hear my own engine really singing down the backstretch. I knew the thing was hauling the mail pretty good, and you know, somebody would have to be really going good to drive around me.
about 10 laps to go, you had about a full straightaway advantage, and it had evaporated like a five-car advantage. Were you trying to conserve fuel, maybe? You lost like a quarter of a straightaway in about five laps span towards the end.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I'm not sure.
Oh, you're on your way. You're pulling away, and about five laps to go, Didero had cut that advantage in half, and then they had the caution. People were thinking maybe you were trying to conserve fuel.
No, I think I was probably just in a rhythm, but at any point at that time, had I felt as though I was threatened, I probably could have went a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the green white checkered, you've gunned it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't about to come off the bottom, and then I made sure that I got it really good and straight and put the throttle to it.
How would you put this season in your career? Track championship and classic.
This one ranks up there pretty darn good. Especially, you know, everybody makes a big deal of 2 years of not winning. You know, we were right there in the points, probably passed more cars than anybody on the track both years. We had 1 year, the 16, that you couldn't win unless you were on the front row. The track was just the tires and the track, it wasn't good. And then last year, you know, Schulich had a real good car, and we took care of that and built that car. I built that car from the ground up from Hawksby Shop. And, we still run second, and most of the year ran second. And then late in the season last year, I just basically told DJ, you know, no hard feelings, but if I'm going to continue to drive, I want to try to focus on myself. And obviously this shows why right here.
Next year, you said it was all up in the air, and you're going to talk to John still. Is that still the case? Or can you firmly say yes? Oswego Auto fans, you will see me at least once here next year.
I would think so, but, you know, Johnny and I, we got to wait for the dust in the air to settle down and talk things over. I really, really would like to calm down on the cars and how many I prepare and how many drivers and all that. And, you know, do all this preparation and we've been successful. It would be nice to be able to just totally do nothing but concentrate on my efforts and nothing else.
Wing shows from here on out, Eddie?
Yeah, I think that we're going to go to Star. I'm not 100% sure, but we're leaning towards going to Star.
And finally, who do you have to thank for your classic victory and track championship?
Well, I got to thank the motor builder, does a hell of a job. Doug Holmes from Finger Lakes Machine does, you know, great power, but real dependable. I thank Joe Hawksby. He's a life friend to me, and you know, we talk almost every day, and he's just a great asset to this team and to this track. And then I got to thank John Nicotra Racing, and I can pretty much say that right there, because that entails a lot of people, and all of them are very, very devoted to this deal, and they'll do anything I ask of them.